This PERspectives podcast focuses on advancing treatment in neovascular retinal disease with novel therapies, with insights and strategies from the latest real-world and clinical data. Joining us today are retina specialists Arshad Khanani, MD, Farhina Ali, MD, and Michael Singer, MD. In this program, we take a look at newer agents for the treatment of neovascular age-related macular degeneration and diabetic macular edema by targeting VEGF and beyond. Based on clinical trial and real-world data for faricimab and clinical trial data for aflibercept 8 mg, these therapies provide opportunities for extended treatment intervals and less treatment burden for patients. First, Dr. Khanani talks about factoring patients' visual acuity and anatomical findings on imaging into treatment goals for NAMD and DME.
When you're looking at patients with NAMD and DME, obviously OCT is the main test we use to look at the disease activity. And as you know, that vision in the clinical trials is done using ETDRS testing, while in clinic is Snellen. Obviously, our goal is to improve or stabilize vision, and we pay attention to that, but vision can be subjective at times. So I primarily use OCT as a way to look at disease activity for my patients on top of visual acuity. Things I'm looking for in neovascular AMD is intraretinal fluid, subretinal fluid, PED height, as well as subretinal hyperreflective material, and obviously subretinal hemorrhage. In addition, the goal is obviously to get rid of all the disease activity, and that's why using the most potent agent available is the way to go in my practice. As far as DME is concerned, obviously you're looking at some other things like drill, hyperreflective foci. Also want to look at epiretinal membrane or vitreomacular traction and other things that can cause DME not to respond to treatment. And again, in DME patients, again, the goal is to dry the retina as much as possible with the most efficacious agent, and then try to increase durability by using second generation agents.
Next, Dr. Ali discusses the emerging role of faricimab and aflibercept 8 mg in the clinical setting.
We know that with our newer agents, there is the potential for greater durability. Faricimab is a bispecific molecule. It has the potential for a different mechanism of action. And in terms of, you know, the trials are, of course, designed around non-inferiority, but we see some signals around superiority in terms of time to dry, how effective of a drying agent it is, you know, in these second generation drugs. So I think that those are important things to keep in mind in your potentially difficult to treat patients or patients that present with very significant disease. You want to get that under control ASAP. And there is enough data to support that the second generation agents may be quite good at that. And we don't have certain types of head-to-head comparisons per se, but they may even be better. So I think the sooner you kind of have that available to use in your office, and you also kind of have a good understanding of what the payers allow in terms of when you are able to introduce that agent in the patient's treatment path. In other words, can you introduce it right away? Do you have to step through other therapies? Those are important things to know in order to then kind of be able to realize the maximal potential utility, which we only can really know in the real world setting. So the trial data can give us some signals as to what we might hope for, but a big part of the drugs are using them and knowing how they perform across a wide range of a heterogeneous patient population.
The Truckee study is a real-world study assessing outcomes with faricimab in patients with NAMD who received the therapy after it received FDA approval. Participants include treatment-naive patients and those previously treated with aflibercept 2 mg, ranibizumab, brolucizumab, or bevacizumab. Dr. Khanani provides some perspective on findings from Truckee.
So as you recall, Truckee is a collaborative study that we started to look at real-world efficacy and safety of faricimab in patients with neovascular AMD. This is a collaborative, non-pharma supportive study that we have a group of investigators around the country who have kindly shared their data with us. And we had a recent data cut that was presented at EU Retina, and we have over 2,000 patients now that have been looked at in the TRUCKEE study. And what we have seen is the same thing we saw before, is that rapid improvement in anatomy with faricimab in previously treated patients as well as naive patients. Obviously, it's a real-world study. It doesn't have specific patient profiles, but rather all patients. But majority of the patients we have are previously treated patients with active disease, and most of those patients were on aflibercept. And we have seen that after a single injection of faricimab, you're able to either dry the retina or improve the fluid status compared to aflibercept. Now, that being said, it's not all patients showing that. We also have a sub-study looking at NOTEL OCT analyzer quantifying fluid. And what we have seen is that majority of the patients improve after one injection, but some don't. And those patients actually need loading doses to improve. So if you're a physician using faricimab and you have a switch patient that's high need and you do one injection and you don't see much improvement or sometimes see worsening, continue with the loading doses, and that will help the patient. And of course, in the naive patients, we have seen what we saw in Tenaya and Lucerne pivotal studies, rapid improvement in anatomy in all parameters, IRF, SRF, PED, subretinal hyperreflective material. And of course, the most important thing, safety. We are watching safety carefully. We have not seen any new safety signals in the latest TRUCKEE data set. The rates of IOI and endophthalmitis appear to be comparable to other agents.
Dr. Ali talks about determining how far to extend treatment intervals for treatment-naive patients after loading doses of newer agents.
I think historically, prior to the trial results from both the faricimab studies and high-dose aflibercept, most providers were extending at 1 to 2 week intervals at a time. The trials have shown us that it can be safe to extend at 4 week intervals at a time, and that also we're looking at treatment durability on the order of months, 3 to 4 months, and sometimes even greater. So there is data to support extending kind of more liberally. But I think for me, you know, so far we haven't had these drugs around for that long. As a point of fact, usually patients that receive the new available treatment are refractory in some way. They're usually the difficult to treat patients. So those aren't folks that I'm extending 4 weeks at a time regardless. So my current practice is to extend, no matter which agent, 1 to 2 weeks at a time. Now, when I have more information and experience under my belt, then I will consider 2 to 3 to 4 week extensions at a regular interval, but these will have to be well-controlled patients and patients that usually responded well to treatment from the gate. So again, not refractory patients that have had, that we've have, you know, reams of OCT showing a roller coaster on their anatomy. Those aren't folks that I'm really interested in kind of pushing the parameters of the treat and extend. But again, if it, you know, when we get to a stage where a great majority of my patients are receiving second generation agents on their first visit in terms of treatment naive and good response right away, then I'll start considering intervals greater than 2 weeks.
Now let's turn to Dr. Singer, who will discuss the use of these agents and corticosteroids for treating patients with DME.
I mean, it's very early. It's early to figure out. We have a good idea about faricimab. Faricimab works very well. One of the things I talk about faricimab is faricimab is like a big hammer and a little screwdriver. So in patients who have AMD, if you have residual edema after being on aflibercept, you probably could think it's more than just VEGF, but it's not a big amount, right? Because everyone knows AMD is a VEGF-mediated disease, so it's like a little screw. If you have a little screwdriver is great. One or two turns, next thing you know, you got the screw screwed in. Problem is with DME, we know 30%, anywhere from about 25 to 30% of people still have residual fluid and unappreciated visual improvement that's sitting on the table with patients on aflibercept. This is a very big screw. It's going to take a number of different turns with the screwdriver, a number of different shots for faricimab to go from there. And it's interesting. the faricimab process I've noticed in DME is different than the steroid process in DME. I have people who've been on aflibercept and dexamethasone and are not dry, and instead I put them on faricimab and dexamethasone, they are. I think Ang2 works better when the vessels are more mature, and I think it fits a niche that you don't always get with steroids, though steroids helps a great deal of it. The story is, where is high dose? Obviously, it's early to tell. There, I presented data at Retina Society looking at polypoidal vasculopathy, which is a very high VEGF-mediated disease, and it seems to show some benefit in the head-to-head trial versus 2 milligrams. 8 milligrams seemed to be stronger, especially in controlling the number of polyps and, you know, having a little bit less intraretinal fluid over time. So the numbers were numerically higher, but, you know, the numbers were too small for statistical significance. One of the things that I'm very interested in seeing is that Jenny Lim presented a very interesting analysis looking at the faricimab data for PEDs, showing that faricimab does a better job in drying up serous PEDs than 2 milligram aflibercept. One of the things I'm hoping to see relatively shortly is that study done for high dose versus 2 milligram, because there is a head-to-head portion of the PULSAR trial looking at these patients with AMD. A large percentage probably have PEDs, and does 8 milligrams do a better job for that? That's what we want to know. High dose has been shown based on their study to be a very good duration play because of the fact is it literally is 4 times as strong. There are only a certain number of VEGF receptors. So if you look at the animal data, it's about 1/2 to 1/4 half-life longer, which is why they have good luck of extending people, you know, anywhere from up to 16 to 20 weeks, and in some cases, maybe even 24 weeks. I think that's where it really does well. For those patients that can be controlled using aflibercept, having higher dose may give you longer duration. Longer durations is important because it increases compliance. And this is really important in our DME patients who typically have 25 other doctor visits to go to in a given year.
Dr. Singer shares perspectives on the use of corticosteroids in patients with DME and determining the most appropriate option based on individuals' characteristics.
I think looking at steroids in DME, the problem we have is that steroids are relegated to the last thing you use. And as a result, patients don't achieve the visual improvement that the potential they had we treated them earlier. But looking at either Reinforce or Paladin, all these patients were previously treated, like 93% or more. And even in these previously treated patients where we kind of thought, you know, there's not a whole lot that can happen, that a lot of these patients still have vision to gain. You know, looking at the Paladin trial, patients lost 4.5 letters before they got in and gained almost 6 when they over a 3-year period. And the same thing in Reinforce. These are patients who had chronic anti-VEGF therapy. And essentially, you would have thought there's no value in adding a steroid. But even adding a steroid at this late process, you're able to be able to get some vision that was left on the table that you didn't expect. The hope is, looking at how good you do, could you start people earlier? And starting people earlier will give you not only the OCT benefits you expect, but even better visual improvements. What's interesting, there's a study called New Day where they're actually looking at that, looking at the fluocinolone implant being given head-to-head versus aflibercept in patients who are naive. And it's an 18-month study. And the primary endpoint is the number of rescue injections. But I think the more interesting secondary endpoints is, are they going to increase their vision? Do they have potentially similar visual improvements that you get with aflibercept without giving as many shots? So I'm very excited to see that data. It'll probably come out in the first part of 2025. And I think this will actually give steroids a fair shake, which they really haven't had over time. So essentially, one of the things I look at is I look at the DEX implant and the fluocinolone implant as different animals. So if you have, I use forest fire is always the one that I seem to use as an analogy. You have a forest fire, what do you start with? You obviously start with a high-powered hose. Well, the high-powered hose is the dexamethasone implant. If you look at the pharmacokinetics, it gives a huge bolus of medicine within the first 2 weeks and then tapers down over time. And essentially, when you have a forest fire, you need to put the fire out. The problem is you don't need a fire hose when you've got embers. When you have embers, you need something like a drip system. The fluocinolone implant is a drip system. It gives small amounts of corticosteroid. Pretty much it's a zero order kinetic over time, so you have control. What's interesting to notice when you have, and in the Paladin trial, 25% of people did not need rescue. If you have rescue when you're on a fluocinolone implant, the interesting thing to notice, if you think at it as two fights, one fight is the VEGF fight and the other fight is the inflammatory fight, there's enough steroid on board with the fluocinolone implant to have the steroid fight, but not enough to cover the whole thing. Anti-VEGFs typically last 1 to 2 months, regardless of what your agent is, especially in this DME population, which is typically more inflammatory driven. But the interesting thing, when you give anti-VEGF rescue injections with people on fluocinolone, they last 3 to 4 months. Why? Because anti-VEGF just has to fight anti-VEGF, because on the other flank, you have the fluocinolone implant doing the job of controlling inflammation. So even when you have to rescue people, and this was shown very clearly in the Paladin trial, where you had like 0 to 1 rescue injections over the course of the time, which was half amount what you had before, it really does a good job of controlling rescues, because it may not eliminate it, but it definitely reduces it.
To end this program, we'll hear Dr. Khanani's perspectives on questions related to faricimab and high-dose aflibercept that arose at a live program at AAO 2023, and what the role of these agents may be in NAMD and DME management in the near future.
So following the live program at AAO, obviously it was great to see how excited physicians were to learn about the second generation anti-VEGF agents, faricimab and high-dose aflibercept. I think because we have limited experience with high-dose aflibercept at this point, it's hard to know if it's comparable in efficacy, durability, and safety as faricimab. And a lot of physicians were asking questions whether one should use faricimab as first line and high-dose aflibercept as first line. And my answer was that we are comfortable with faricimab, so I'm using faricimab as first-line agent in terms of having the efficacy and safety experience based on clinical trial as well as large real-world studies like Truckee and Tahoe as well as others. With high-dose aflibercept, we're still generating evidence in terms of the efficacy and safety, and I think by next year, middle of next year, we'll have a pretty good idea in terms of efficacy and safety, and then if it looks comparable to faricimab, the question will be which drug to use. And I think there may be patients that may benefit from one drug or other. Having an additional Ang2 inhibition with faricimab may benefit patients more. So I think it's one of those things where eventually we'll have to have a head-to-head trial to look at efficacy and safety and durability. I don't know if that trial will be done or not. So I think we're still learning about these new agents, but it's great to have options for our patients that are efficacious, durable, and safe.
Thank you for joining today to listen to this conversation on managing NAMD and DME with newer agents, including high-dose aflibercept and faricimab.